Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined today by my good friend and yours, Nadia Cater. Nadia.
Mike, I'm tired and I'm excited for spooky season.
Yes. And Nadia, I want you to know that one day your prince will come.
And take me away on horseback.
Yeah. Your prince who writes poetry and
come on, do we really think he wrote that?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think it's clear that he didn't.
I think they got some schmuck, hacky ghostwriter of that you know, alternate time period, and just called it the Prince's love romantic poetry.
Right.
Well, he looked like Shaggy from Scooby Doo.
He was not very attractive, but it doesn't matter really. He had all the power.
Well, I think he had a semblance of attraction, but it was more like generic attractive guy. Do you know what I'm saying? Like he looks like a dime a dozen.
Well, these and we'll get more into specifics. we're talking about the ugly stepsister from 2025. What he represented was a life, you know what I mean? All of these women need a husband to be their patriarch. So the movie's sort of seeped in this desperation.
I gotta say, I think this is one of the most brutal, cruel movies you and I have ever done an episode on.
You think so?
I think there's just this underlining cruelty and viciousness in this patriarchal society that's really, really awful. Like, literally anybody, and I can't even say I hate any of the women in this movie, even though some of the women are really cruel. It's because they're forced in the system to compete with each other.
Right. See, that's why I would say I don't see, there's a lot of cruelty in this movie, but I have a lot of sympathy for all the characters, for all the female characters, at least because of their lot in life. I will say, let's go back to the ending.
Okay, sorry.
Then we'll jump right in. The Ugly Stepsister from 2025. This is a retelling of Cinderella. I thought it was going to be a wacky retelling, but in fact, it's very true to the Brothers Grimm version. And it might be my favorite version of Cinderella. This was an international co-production between Norway, Poland, Sweden, and Denmark. The languages spoken in the film are Norwegian, Swedish. Is there anything else besides Norwegian and Swedish?
I don't think so.
It's written, and I can't tell the difference between which is which. it's written and directed by Emily Blichfeld. This is her first feature film.
What a wild debut, right? Like,
incredible.
Absolutely incredible. She can only fail from here. She can, is such a strong start for a career.
Yeah. So this movie is the story of Cinderella told from the point of view of the ugly stepsister. And the trailer for the movie, I think, is a little bit misleading. I like the movie a lot. But the trailer, I think, was coming hot off the heels of The Substance. And I feel like the trailer's cut in a sort of fast-paced, wacky way. To kind of like be like, this is like The Substance. And it deals with some of the themes that The Substance deals with. And it has some of the insane gore that The Substance has. But I think The Substance is a sort of cartoon almost in its outlandishness. Whereas this, I think there's a reality. There's a verisimilitude to everything, including its outlandish cruelty. I actually liked it. I went in thinking I was like it. I liked it even more than I thought that I would. How many times have you seen it?
I've seen it twice.
She's right. Okay. I think you suggested this. It's on Shudder right now. But I wouldn't necessarily call it a horror movie, although it has horrific things in it.
Really? Okay. Well, what would you call it?
I would call it like a grim fairy tale or a feminist thriller. I don't know. There's nothing. There's gross things in it. There's violence in it. But there's no tension at all. There's no moments that scare you. There's no jump scares. There's no tension. There's no suspense. It's a drama slash comedy. There's a lot of funny things in it. where a lot of really brutal things happen, but none of it ever scares you.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I would agree with horror has to be scary in this, or scares you, because that is subjective, as if like a comedy of like what's funny and what's not to you, right? I would say it's horror in its reality. Like, I think it's more of something that you kind of s that sits with you rather than freaks you out. But it's like this, the reality of this fairy tale, this movie is very much steeped in our reality. Like, it's not, there is a little bit of magic in it, but more than anything, it's, I feel like it's relatable in the sense of what gendered roles do to people, and how it kind of like it twists people and makes everyone a bad guy. Like, literally every woman is kind of acts in a way that's so painful and awful. But while you watch the movie, it's like, oh, I actually can't hate this person because this is all they're given.
Except Alma, who I think is not a bad guy, but
Oh.
Alma, I think, becomes sort of gender nonconformist because at one point the stable boy is kicked out because Cinderella's having an affair with the stable boy. And then we see like it cuts to months later and Alma's the stable boy. And from that point on in the film, she's wearing male presenting clothing.
Yeah.
She also at one point gets her period and doesn't tell anybody. I think one, because she's just like, she sees what womanhood is in her reality and she's like, fuck that. And I also think if she had her period, they would make her go to the ball. And she does not want to do any of that.
Yeah, she actually hides a lot.
Alma's like the most real character in the movie because she's the only one who reacts to all of this with proper insanity. Like this is insane what's going on around me.
She's almost like the, there's scenes where she's like the audience stand-in. Like when we first meet Agnes, who's Cinderella, right? There's like this radiance to her. Like, she's classically beautiful, she's blonde. And Elvira, evil stepsister that we follow, she actually like is in awe of her. And you can see Alma reacting to Elvira, like, what is going on? What do you, she's just some girl, right? And then later, you see Alma reacting with horror, where everyone else is like, oh, beautiful, and all these really intense scenes. So it's like Alma is always poised to be like, oh, I see what this does to people. It's really incredible. And then she just kind of disappears for large parts of the movie when it's focused more on the feminine environments that are really environments created so that they can be like objects of desire for men.
So there's like
Fucking wild.
then there's something of like Judith Butler in Alma because she survives and thrives and kind of steps out of the fray by not conforming to any gender norm. It's all about gender normativity, and body normativity. Elvira, or it's spelled Elvira, but they say Elvira. Elvira is our main character, and funny thing is, she's cute. Like she's not that unattractive, but she's got a round face because she's a little chubby. She has braces. She's supposed to be a child anyway. And she has a little bump on her nose.
She also has like these ringlet curls, like kind of like that. I feel like I, from what little I know from various time periods, that there was a time period where that was like a little girl's look. So she's very poised to look like a child compared to Agnes or Cinderella.
And so it's sort of, I mean, I don't think we have to describe Cinderella. I feel like everyone knows it. But from the get-go, there's an economic part of this because it begins with Elvira, her sister Alma, and their mother Rebecca going off on a like in a coach, and they go to this mansion that's kind of like a beautiful mansion, but it also looks a little bit in disrepair. And they meet this old man and his daughter, who's Agnes. And then there's like this very quick little wedding between Elvira's mother and the king. Not the king, sorry, the guy who owns the house. And then they're at dinner and he's kind of being weird. He's kind of being a dick. He's like playing with the cake, like they're having wedding cake, and he like throws it on Elvira, and the mother's like, "What the fuck?" And then he starts laughing, and everyone's laughing, and then he laughs and has a heart attack and drops dead right there. And then you find out that they both married each other for money. The so-called evil stepmother, right, who's a very huge archetype, right? The evil stepmother, Rebecca, she's a widow, and she has two daughters, and she how is she going to take care of them? So she needs to get married. So she marries this man who has a house and she thinks money, but we learn from Agnes that he married Elvira's mother because he thought she had money. So no one had money, and now we're all in dire straits. So that economic pressure is everywhere because it's not just you want a man to fall in love with you. I think Elvira, she reads she supposedly the prince writes poetry. So she reads the prince's poetry and like imagines him as like this, in a romantic way. But I think for everyone else, it's a matter of you need a man at all to be attracted to you so you can survive. The prince would be the best, but outside of that, there's still many other men of various ages that you could land. So it's like this struggle for survival. I mean, the scene where Elvira finds out from Agnes that there's no money, she runs into this room where her mother is with like a lawyer, and I guess they're like reading the will or whatever. And she's like, "There's no money." And then the lawyer repeats and goes, "Yes, there's no money." And then he's like, I guess he's the bank maybe, because he's like, "We're going to take this land and this blah, blah, blah." And then the mother, Rebecca, faints and she's just like laying on the floor, depressed. And Elvira's like, "We can figure it out." And she's like, "What am I going to do? I'm a widow with saggy tits and two loser daughters," or whatever she says. And
Oh,
you.
God.
As evil as the stepmother is throughout the movie, you understand in that moment her struggle.
Yeah, because she had this like brief instance of, oh, we're gonna be okay, and like the rug is pulled out from under you. I
Yeah.
actually thought the three men were the husband's male family members. I
Okay.
thought they were taking what little was left
Oh,
because they're
really?
male heirs.
That
That's
could
what I
possibly
thought.
true. I read it as like bank people.
Well, I think the one guy with the, reading the estate and stuff, I took him as like a banker or a lawyer or something. But the way those three guys came in, they were like, we're gonna take all the arable land and whatever, the livestock, you can keep the coins. And there's like 10 gold coins on the table. But they don't really, they have nothing.
That's
That
it.
was so messed up. I was so, and I couldn't tell though if the heirs were taking the husband's land or was it their land that they brought to the marriage. You can't really tell, but because they're male heirs, they get everything anyway.
Because they don't take all the land. The house is still there, and you see they still have some cows and stuff. There's still horses because there's still a stable boy.
Well, they use the term Arab, like a, I don't know what that's called, but they probably took, oh, arable means used or suitable for growing crops. So I think they just took everything that could be worth monies and left them with this house, which isn't worth anything. Yeah.
In the beginning, Agnes is kind of like mean. So at first I was like, "Oh, maybe this is like one of those things where like the good guy's the bad guy, or the bad guy's like Wicked or whatever."
Sure.
But then even she becomes sympathetic. But she's sort of like, she's heartbroken over her father dying, and
And no one cares. It's like
one wants to
she's
bury him.
no one, yeah, no one wants to spend the money to bury him. And I mean, you gotta kind of look. I think how I took it was like these strangers moved into her house to share her father, and then he immediately dies, and she's stuck with these people that she doesn't know. And what little she has is her title, which is worthless. Other than I'm, she literally says to Elvira, like something like, if it wasn't, yeah, that's how it starts. If it wasn't for the money, my father wouldn't even let people like you into our lives.
Right.
So it's, there's so, so she has so little and loses it.
Right.
And so it's kind of like, and I'm actually glad it didn't go that route, like the wicked route of like, well, actually the real story is, because that's, it's already becoming cliche,
Well,
with all
it
these.
doesn't allow anything to be that simple, I think. Like
No,
you,
I think this movie takes, elevates it to another level.
right. The you feel a lot of sympathy for Elvira in the beginning, but then as things change, you feel sympathy for Agnes. At first, I guess I'm not that familiar with Cinderella. I guess I'd because they were calling her Agnes, and I was like, oh, I guess this is like just inspired by Cinderella. But then at one point, the stepmother she finds out that Agnes is having like an affair with the stable boy, and she throws her on the floor and tells the other servants put her to work. And then from that point on, they call her Cinderella, which I think is in the story. Like her, they call her Cinderella as like a mocking name because she's on the floor with like cinders and dirt.
Yeah.
Because when they say Cinderella for the first time, I was like, oh, okay, it is Cinderella. This takes place, by the way, in Swedlandia, which is not real, but what was real is Svealand, which is the historical like central part of Sweden. And I guess Swedish is what they're speaking most in this movie. But it's interesting, like even like you hear like you can't help but compare it to like Disney, right? Like in Disney fairy tale stuff, it's like kingdoms are like big thing, but a kingdom's not. It's a small little thing where for some reason one family gets to have everything and everyone else gets fucking nothing. Like when she goes to when they first get there, I guess Agnes is showing them around, and Elvira looks out Agnes's window and she sees the castle. It's like right there. Right. And then at some point, she runs into the prince when he's hunting.
And he's just pissing, and oh my God. It's like they took every, you know, I can't help but make this comparison of the substance of like, oh my God, what's his name? Eating the shrimp.
Yeah,
It's just like
Mario.
every man had that level of grossness to them.
Sure, yeah.
Who
And
was
yeah.
that thing?
Oh, that's Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid eating shrimp and
Right.
the substance. Yeah, so Elvira's in the woods. She spies on the prince and his fucking, like, oh my God.
Yes,
Sounds like
I
frat
call them
boys.
they're frat boys. Yeah, he has frat boy friends that they're talking about like who's better to fuck, a virgin or a whore, and it's just they're just talking about sex, like they're just frat boys.
Oh my God. And he's like pissing and she's like watching all them, and then he turns her, so she sees his hairy ass.
Yeah.
Which is not, was definitely not in her fantasy of him coming on horseback. And
Yeah.
she actually has this fantasy of like he's hunting and he accidentally shoots her with an arrow, and then he goes to her rescue and falls in love with her. Like, it's all, she's the only person that has these fairy tale
Right.
like dreams, and that's the only thing that drives her.
Yeah.
And he turns around and like he's probably still holding his dick. And and the friends are like making fun of Elvira, and they're like, well, I think she wants to fuck, or something like this. So, like, fuck you.
It's something like, hey, what do they say? They call her, what do they call her? Hey, she has the thing on her nose at that point. It's like, hey, metal nose or something like that. Do you want some princely cock?
Oh, God.
And then he looks at her and he says, that? I wouldn't fuck that.
Yeah.
And what's interesting though is at that point, you see her crying, but she doesn't seem to give up the fantasy.
No, even though she met him and he's a clown show, like that's all she,
Yeah.
it's really all she has. Like, she has nothing.
Yeah.
She, when Agnes is crying about her father being dead, Elvira's like, well, you know, when my father died, my mom just slept all the time, but then it got
Yeah.
better. It's like she completely shuts out any emotional like stuff to focus on, this is going to be my life. This guy's going to come in on horseback and
Yeah.
rescue and, you know, love me, fall in love with me.
Right.
And it's just, ugh. What, you want to talk about the nose job?
Yeah, actually, but since you brought it up, I want to talk about that fantasy. The first fantasy, the film begins with this fantasy. But isn't it wild that even in her fantasy, she dies? He shoots her with an arrow through the heart. And then as she's dying, he comes and professes his love to her. It's a very weird fantasy to have. It says something, I guess, about the desperation of everything.
Oh, yeah.
So after I guess let's bring it in order a little bit. After the father dies, Agnes is like, I know when I'd like to have my father's funeral, and the evil stepmother is like, oh well, no, we don't have the money for it yet. And then she's like, but you're spending money on this, and now you're spending money on everything but his funeral, and it's a running joke kind of throughout the movie that his dead corpse is just rotting there in one room. There's even, I don't know if you saw this, there's an after credit scene, like a Marvel movie, that's just another shot of the corpse just laying there, I guess in the dining room that he died in.
Oh, God.
After the death, there's again, it's Cinderella, right? Someone from the castle comes to the house and invites, they say specifically virgins, they invite every virgin of age to come to the prince's ball, which is like in a couple months. They say in like 3 moons or something like that. And the point of the ball is for him to find his bride. So now there is a focus, and now there's like something they could win. The mother's like, this is it. Like, we'll get Elvira into shape. She can marry the prince, and then we could turn this whole thing around. So at first they invite Agnes because she's like traditionally beautiful. And then Elvira comes out. Oh, and there's this great thing where the person from the castle is like handwriting the invitations, and he asks Agnes her name, and she has this big long name, and it's Von something, which I didn't know what Von. I've always heard Von, but I didn't know until I looked it up that Von means of or
Yeah.
from. So he says Elvira's like, what's your name? And she's like, Elvira, and he's like, Von, and she doesn't say anything. She has no name. She has no title. So he's like, Von, and then Cinderella's like, she's my stepsister. So, and she actually says that in English, stepsister. So he writes Elvira Von stepsister. That's the name she has. And then from that, and then I there's like three or four brutal scenes in this. We get to the first real brutal scene, which is the nose scene.
Oh man, you know what before we get into that, but like
Yes.
really messed up is like she doesn't have a name, and we only in that, you know, the classic fairy tale that we know of, it's we only know the stepsister from her t you know, stepsister as in relation to Cinderella. So even then, it's like in this movie that's about her, she's still, oh, this is what you're known for. This is who you are. You are of Cinderella in some way.
See, her name becomes like,
Literally evil steps, like
yeah, to
Elvira
Cinderella,
Von stepsister, evil stepsister.
and at the ball when they're announcing all the girls, they say Elvira Von's stepsister.
So she doesn't have an identity within herself, but she's
No.
still. And what's crazy though is that all she's focused on is getting this invitation. Like that's all she cares about. She doesn't care that she's not her own person, where Alma, in contrast, is like, yeah, I'm gonna go be the stable girl. Like, fuck this. Oh yeah, so she has a little bump in her nose. They take her to a what I guess is a like a kind of medieval version of a plastic surgeon.
I find myself going like, is he a beautician? Is he a surgeon? Is like it doesn't seem like there's a lot of expertise to what he's doing.
No, he just breaks her nose with no anesthesia.
Yes. Oh.
With a chisel, and they show it to you, and her mom and her sister Alma are just sitting there watching it happen. And again, we get that point of view of Alma looking horrified and seeing all the blood on the floor that one of the nurses is like scrubbing, and no one is paying attention, and only Alma's like,
This is fucked up.
this is insane. And they're just sitting there watching Elvira's nose be broken.
And they're looking at a book of illustrations of noses. And he's like, which nose do you want? And she's like, I think number six. And he's like, ah, that's a good choice. And then he says, he has a really interesting line. He says, I'm going to tame your nose. And he takes like, there's no, you're right, there's no anesthesia. They just strap her down. He takes like a little like chisel or something and then a hammer. He puts it at the top part of the bridge of her nose. And then like a gentle like one, two, and then three, boom. And she has this blood curdling scream of just intense pain. It's disturbing because you just know it hurts so badly. And then he does it again. He breaks it in two places. And then for the next sort of portion of the movie, whenever we see her, she's got on this like copper, this weird like copper thing on her nose, that like has like leather straps that go around her head. And I guess it's like setting it the way that they want to set it.
I think that's it, because later in the movie she loses it and it's like her nose just gets all fucked up.
Yeah.
So yeah, everything is so fleeting. Did you notice that the industries that cater to these men are almost all of them are men, with
Yes.
the exception of the finishing school, which are run by presumably lesbians?
Yes.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
They're still part of the problem.
Oh yeah. And oh yeah, right. They're okay, but they're absolutely they're the, what do you call it? The Maxwells of it. Epstein's the ma the one who helped Epstein.
Gilzane,
Yeah.
oh my God, what's her name?
Something with a G.
Yeah, Gilzane or
Yeah.
something
Yeah.
European.
Yeah. Because it's so funny, like, not to say this movie's realistic and I probably shouldn't be learning things from it. But you hear things from like fairy tales and stuff, and you don't think about what it really means until you see something here. Like, I've always heard of finishing school. And then in this movie, there's a lot. She goes to finishing school, and it's a big part of the plot. And you realize, oh, finishing school is it's basically sex trafficking. It's you need a guy, you need a husband to take care of you. So we're gonna make you as fuckable as possible, as demure as possible. Right, we're gonna make sure you don't have any fucking opinions. We're gonna make sure you do everything you could possibly do, and then the whole end part of it is we go to the ball and you're presented, and even when they present them, they say their height and like their weight, like it's just like it's really like an auction. It was
It's
like that's what finish. Maybe that's not what it is now, if such a thing. If I don't even know if finishing schools as such exist, but that's what it is. It's sex trafficking. All it's all these girls. And then the it's run by Miss Sophie and Madame Yvonne or Madame Vanya, I think. And we find out that they're partners. And you know they teach them, you know, the stuff you've seen before, movies like Walk with a Book on Your Head. But there's a montage of all the girls learning how to fan themselves with a fan and then demurely back out of a room.
Yeah,
Which is like, what are
wow.
you teaching that? Well, like, what is, like, it's so interesting when you think about, like, what is this? You're teaching them, you're literally teaching them their cute way to cower.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it's taking like these structures and the ideas and making it like so obviously cruel and pointless, in the sense of like you're taking these girls and you're molding them into a product that like an assembly line.
Yeah. And like, you know, there's a sad, you also they there's also they're teaching them a dance, so there's choreography because they're gonna open up the ball with a dance performance. And when they're like practicing the dancing, and the dancing's all very like it's all to present them as these like shrinking tiny things, right? And she makes Elvira go in the back, and like she looks, she's like, go, like there's like four lines, and she's like, go to the back, and she goes back a line, and she's like, no, the back. And she's like, the back, the back. It's like she wants to go to the very back. And then she looks at the other girls in the line, and they're all, you know, they all have braces and bad skin. It's like, this is the ugly line. And then she's like, Agnes, you go to the front. So, but isn't that interesting too, right? Because Cinderella never says, I'm beautiful, right? It's other people around her that talk about her beauty, that makes Elvira resent her. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they're put in competition with each other, but I think Agnes or Cinderella, I think she just wants to survive.
That's all she cares about.
That's all most of them care about, except for really
Elvira.
Elvira, right? Because she thinks she has this idea in her mind of like love, of.
Which is just so sad because like really, oh man. I feel like that's the cruelty of it, of just like, yeah, they're sold a fairy tale, but she's the only person that believes in it.
Yeah.
Everything else, everyone else is like, we're obviously putting up a front so that we can live.
Yeah.
And you're right, Agnes just wants to survive. And she's just like fortunate enough to kind of have a place to live and
Right.
to be able to have sex with until she's not allowed to. The
Hot stable boy.
the stable boy that kind of looks like a Temu Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
She
But even
even
then, right, there's a great moment between her and the when we learn about their affair, right? She comes off his horse, her he helps her off her horse, and they embrace and kiss, and he says, I love you, and she says, I love you. And but then she goes, but I have to marry the prince. And he's like, but you love me, and she's like, I do love you, and I'm never gonna love anybody but you. So it shows that even she's practical in that she knows that she has someone that she's in love with. But she also knows, like, she's got to marry the prince.
Yeah, but they do have a goodbye fuck, which you see
Yeah, let's talk about that. That
full Cinderella bush.
you see full asshole and labia. You see everything, everything,
In the stable around the horses.
and you hear, and it's such brilliant sound editing. You hear the horses making noise the whole way through, and there's even like close-ups of the horses while they're fucking. Like, just be like, people are just fucking animals, really. It doesn't matter what your name is. In the end, we're just animals in a stable getting fucked.
Yeah, and I feel like what's really interesting about that scene too is like it really does, you know, like that juxtaposition of animalistic behavior, which it does. It's so compared to the sanitized like fantasy that Elvira has,
All
it's
right.
really gross.
Elvira is shocked by what she sees. She comes and she looks, and she just we just see an ass. Like it takes a second where you're like, okay, that's I see a vagina, so I guess that's Cinderella's ass. And then we see a pretty big dick, and then he comes up behind her and starts fucking her, and Elvira's shocked. You know, I don't think she's ever even thought about sex in this way. And she makes a noise, and they see her, and the guy gets pulls out because there's a close up of like dripping jizz on some sort of it's a really
Oh my God.
gross, like
Yeah.
a huge load of jizz like dripping on some fabric.
It's like, let's make this as unattractive as humanly
Yes,
possible.
yes, and the fact that they're doing it from behind feels. I mean, it brings to mind like do animals like a horse. Like they love each other, but even they're not like doing what you see in movies as a representation of love making. Like they're fucking, you know, doggy style. And that's when the next day the mother's like, "What kind of a virgin fuck stable boys? You're a whore, blah blah." She kicks the stable boy out. He's naked, running away. But poor Cinderella's like hitting on the glass, like, "Oh, what's his name, Ivan or something?" She's like, "I love you, I love you." So you feel bad for her there. And then that's when she throws her on the floor and they start calling her Cinderella. But see, that leaves some, that brings something up to me because not to skip all the way to the end, but I will. At the very end, it's the same ending as Cinderella. The prince comes, puts the shoe on Cinderella, and she leaves with him, and it's a happy ending for her, but she's not a virgin. So are we to think, and they make a big deal out of, they remind you of it because at the very end, the prince even says, like, oh, you're the virgin for me, or something stupid like that. So, are we, as an audience, meant to think that eventually he's gonna find out and even she's not gonna get her happy ending?
I don't know. I kind of feel like it was more, I took it like even he sold a fairy tale.
So, he won't know. He won't know really what's supposed to happen.
I mean,
Although
like
he seems like he's fucks a lot.
he kind of seems like, yeah, and he also kind of seems like an idiot. Like, that we barely get any screen time with him where we get to know him as a character at all, which I think is better for the movie. But I think it's kind of like it's just a fairy tale over the cruel reality of like they're probably going to have some boring sex so that they have children,
Yeah.
and they're both going to probably be miserable together.
Yeah.
And a lot of that ending scene that I thought was really great was that you just hear it because it's from Elvira's point of view,
Yeah.
where
Yeah.
she's trying to get to the prince,
So
and she.
heartbreaking.
You could hear, yeah, you could hear the horse, you hear the prince, you hear the call, and you see them riding away, but it's like so much of
Yeah.
it is off screen.
Yeah.
That was really smart.
Yeah, no, it was so smart. I think there's beautiful cinematography in it, beautiful camera work, beautiful lighting. It's all low-key lighting. Again, I shouldn't look at movies and go, this is reality. I shouldn't be learning from movies, but like at the bowl at the end, it's pretty dim, and it's like, yeah, because if this were a real castle at this real time and everything's lit by candles, it isn't gonna be super bright. I don't know, like it's so interesting because it really, you know, this narrative of Cinderella, and it really like rips your eyes open to look at it in a very sort of like in a very practical way.
I think all the set designs are incredible, and I feel like
Beautiful.
you could smell this movie, like watching it.
Oh
Like,
yeah,
looks gr
gross.
everything looks disgusting.
Oh, it's disgusting. The food's disgusting. The sex is disgusting. Ugh, we'll talk about it all. They start. Oh, okay. So there's this. So Elvira gets a nice role in the performance, and she's happy at first. But then Madame Vanya's like, you know, your mother paid me. Although they don't have money, we find out the mother's just making promises around town, saying, "I'll pay you after we get married to the prince." But she says, "Your mother paid me to put you in this. But I don't think you're. I didn't want you." And then she actually pinches the fat underneath her chin. It's so fucked up. And you know, at this point, you're heartbroken for poor Elvira. You're like, oh. But then the minute she starts to like conform to the standard beauty, she turns bitchy, and it's like, motherfucker. Like it's just the sadness of the nature of that.
Yeah, and she also looks like like they give her a blonde wig,
Oh yeah.
they give her a straight
Yeah.
nose and eyelashes, they give her big eyelashes, but she looks like everybody else.
Oh yeah. So there's a moment where. At the finishing school, Miss Sophia, or Miss Sophie, whatever. No, oh yeah, Miss Sophie has a little meeting with Elvira, and she's actually very kind to Elvira, although not a good influence. She says things like, you know, I think you got a lot of potential. You know, she asks to look at her nose. She takes the thing off, and it's still pretty bruised. But she's like, you're making your outside match the beauty of your inside, and she makes Elvira happy. So you're kind of like, oh, this is a nice person. And then she's like, I want to give you something. And she gives her a little locket. And it's like, oh, that's cute. And then you find out later that inside the locket is a tapeworm egg. And we haven't even talked yet about the tapeworm of it all, which is the real gross out shit in this movie, is the tapeworm. So, you know, fucking, it's a character to itself, the tapeworm. It has an arc. You know what I mean? We could tell the story from the tapeworm's point of view. By the way, I looked up tapeworm eggs. I was like, what does a real one look like? It doesn't look anything like it looks in the movie. The movie really makes it a magic pill. In the movie, it's like a little pill, but you can see through it, and you can see a little worm inside moving. Oh, it makes your skin crawl. She tells her sister, Alma, I'm going to take this tapeworm. And Alma's like, are you out of your fucking mind? Like, what is wrong with you? It's an appropriate
Alma's like,
reaction.
what did she say? I actually wrote this out. You're sick in the head.
You're sick in the head. And then she's like, you're just being childish. So she takes it, and throughout the rest of the movie now, you hear like her stomach grumbling in various scenes, and it's getting louder and worse. But when we do skip ahead, and now Cinderella is like basically a servant, and Alma is the stable boy or the stable person now, Cinderella's thinner. And I think they really just maybe waited and had the Asherachas lose weight, because I watched it again today, and it's like she's not that heavy, and it's like, but it doesn't look like prosthetics, because it's like prosthetics, you can make somebody look really fat with prosthetics, but I feel like you can't use prosthetics to make somebody look a little bit chubbier. It just looks like she really lost a little bit of weight, and then she also, they take the thing off her nose, and she has like a little Disney princess nose. It's got a little swoop, and it comes to a little dot, a little, you know, there's no more big bump in it. And she's beginning to conform to all this stuff, and she's starting to get an attitude about it. You know, we see her in the bath, and Cinderella comes and combs her hair and feeds her, and it's disgusting because she's eating like spaghetti, and it's like getting, first of all, it looks like SpaghettiOs. It looks so gross, and it's like getting in the bath. And it also shows how nice. That's a great scene because she asks Cinderella to read her the prince's poetry, and there's a thing in there about a serpent, and she's like, "What do you think the serpent means?" And Cinderella's like, "His dick, like, duh, like it's a penis, like it's just like if you're so naive."
I feel like she's the real innocent one. Like we kind of, I think we, because of Disney, we take for granted that Cinderella is the innocent and the
Right.
pure, but she's not. In this
No.
movie, Elvira is, but that is actually part of the problem that she is naive and doesn't know better.
I mean, you could, and this is a film 101 term paper. Like, you could read the Prince's Book of Poetry as Disney films. Like, you could put together a nice little, term paper where in this movie, this sort of stark version of this fairy tale, there's something within it that functions like Disney, which is this book of poetry, which probably, like you said, isn't really written by the prince, and it gives Elvira all these fantasy ideas about love. Let's see. We see Elvira, she's hiding food and eating like crazy, but again, there's a tapeworm in her, so she's not gaining any weight. Let's see, jizz on fabric. Oh, oh, the eyelash procedure is what we're up to.
Oh man.
So, I don't even understand why you have to do this. Like, we have fake eyelashes now. You just glue them on. Like, why would they have to do this? So she's thinner now, and she's got the little button nose. And they're like, okay, now we're gonna do your eyelashes. And you see, they strap her into this chair, and they take cocaine, and they're like, this is from a coca leaf. And they put it on her eyelids to like numb it, but then the surgeon sniffs what's left on his glove, and he goes, "Woo!" So it's like that's exactly what you want to see your fucking surgeon getting high. And then they literally sew, like it's a thread with fake lashes on it. They sew it into her eyelids, and you see the POV of Elvira, where it's like everything's blurry. But you see, like the eyelid looks giant, and then the syringe, the needle looks giant as it's breaking through the skin and going out. And then you see, like it looks like blood beginning to rise as you realize her eyes are filling with blood. It's another brutal, brutal moment.
I feel like it's kind of, you're right. It's like, why would you have to do this? But if you think of it, of like this is a very patriarchal society, they're going to design something in a way that makes women look beautiful, but it's completely careless of how cruel and painful it is.
Right,
I think that's
right.
the idea behind it. It's just like
Yeah.
the worst possible way we could do this.
Yeah. And he tells her, he's like, after this, maybe we can get you some nice tits, like Nurse Rose over here. And you see the nurse has big boobs.
Yeah, but yeah, that's the thing. It's like the nurse is wearing like a head covering, or like almost sort of like sterile, but needs a window for her huge tits.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, right, of course.
just crazy.
So she's getting more, beautiful in her mind, but she's also, because of the malnutrition from the tapeworm, she's beginning to lose hair. Her hair's falling out. We also have a really horrible scene that reminds me of a scene from The Exorcist, where you see Elvira's stomach and you see like the tapeworm moving in her stomach.
Wow, yeah.
It's pretty fucked up. And then we meet a truly wicked character, which is, I don't know, is he a haberdasher? I don't know what he is. He comes in one night
I
and he
took him
looks
as like the dress, like
maker.
or the seller. He probably didn't even make them.
Okay. He comes in and he's just a wolf. He's just a monster. Like, he's the most I don't know, outwardly horrible person. Of all the horrible men, I think he's one of the most horrible. And it's interesting because he's such a nothing character. He doesn't have to be that way, but it just adds a flavor to that section of the film where you're like, my God. Because he immediately comes in and
While Elvira's mom wakes her up to get dressed
yes.
and takes her clothes off, so Elvira's naked, and that's when she notices he's standing in the doorway.
And he's leering at her and he's not even hiding it.
Oh, it's so
Elvira's supposed to
awful.
be like what, like 15 or something like that? She's supposed to be a teenager.
Oh.
Yeah, he's leering right at her, and then they show her the dress that he made for her, and she loves it, and she's in love, and it's beautiful. And then the mother calls Cinderella to come help her put the dress on. But the minute Cinderella comes in, and Cinderella now is basically a servant and dresses like a servant, so the guy doesn't see her as a person. The minute Cinderella comes in, he starts leering at her. And while Cinderella's helping put Elvira in the dress, he just comes up to her and grabs her face and tries to kiss her.
Oh,
Like
he
she's not even a
spits in her mouth.
person.
The
Well, she
first thing
spits.
he
Yeah,
does is
she spits. She fights back.
no, he spits in her mouth.
I thought she spit in his mouth as a defense, as like a fuck you.
No, I think she spit out his spit.
Okay. All right.
And
Well,
then,
either
like,
way.
he spits her, and then he forcibly kisses her, calls her a whore.
Okay. Well,
It's
he
really horrible.
imagine just walking up to a person that you do not know and grabbing their face without any kind of consent. But he just sees her as like she's not a thing. She's not a person. She's a thing. He eventually grabs her again and does kiss her, force a kiss on her, and then he throws her on the floor. He then is helping Elvira get into her dress, and he just puts his hand in her dress, grabs her boobs, and pushes them up to like fix the dress. But also, he's just grabbing her boobs. But also, he says something interesting. She says, "Who are you?" And he goes, "Think of me as your good fairy," even
Ugh.
though he's the most evil fucking guy in the movie.
I like the way you say wolf because when I
He looks
that
like
is
the
really
wolf from Pinocchio or something.
yeah, or a little Red Riding Hood. He's just like
Yeah.
leering with all the teeth and smiling.
Yeah.
Oh, so creepy. That's
Yeah.
actually a really good description of that.
Yeah, he's such an evil fucking character. And they see that her hair's falling out, and then there's no concern. They're just like, "Oh, we'll put a wig on you." And then she's got on this blonde wig, and he's like, "Tomorrow you're gonna make us all rich." Then with the next thing we hear, the mother and him fucking. So she must be like paying people with sex for things.
Which
Oh, and
is
then we have
so
this great
upsetting.
moment. So Cinderella goes and she goes and opens her dress. And I looked this up in the original. There's two. It's a hard history, and honestly, I didn't look that far into it. There's a Grimm version, but then there's another version. But either way, neither version describes her dress as blue. Her dress being blue is a Disney thing. And even that's not totally true. It's a little bit of a Mandela effect because it's white in the movie, but on the
Huh.
VHS, it looked blue. And now in marketing and stuff, she's blue. Like when they make a doll of it, she's got a blue dress. But anyway, in this, she has a blue dress. So Cinderella's looking at her blue dress, and Elvira comes in when she's putting her dress on, and she's like mad to see her. And she's like, "You're not going. You're not going to the ball." And she's like, "I was invited. I get to go." And Elvira rips her dress. And then Cinderella runs away crying, and she runs to her father's rotting corpse. And then this whole scene, I think, is really brilliant. She sees her dead mother, where she sees a light fall on her, and then it's her dead mother, and she's like the fairy godmother. And she and her father is the corpse is rotting, so it's covered in maggots and worms, but I guess it's also covered in silkworms, because like the Disney movie, kind of. The silkworms on her father's corpse start working to fix her dress. So they fix her dress, and her mother gives her shoes, and the mother says, "At midnight, your carriage will turn back into a pumpkin." We don't actually see this, but later on, we see a pumpkin out front, and Elvira steps over it. So either they wanted to be playful with that, or they didn't have the money to show it. But either way, she says, they weave in Disney when it's useful for what they're doing. You know what I mean? So then the rest of the movie's basically at the ball. They go to the ball, they're introduced. They do a Bugsby Berkeley like dance that's like filmed from a crane. It's like total Bugsby Berkeley. The whole thing, her stomach is rumbling like crazy. The tapeworm has just grown gigantic inside of her. And she's having a good moment. Like, they even line the girls up. And they're like, "Now the prince will choose who he wants to dance with first." And he chooses Elvira, and they're dancing. And she's like, her dream's coming true. And then Cinderella comes in. And everybody stops and looks at Cinderella. And she's literally got like glitter and like magic coming off of her. She's in the blue dress. She's got a veil on. So you can't really see her face. And the prince leaves Elvira and goes over to Cinderella. And then Elvira gets angry and sad, and she runs away. And then a really gross scene, she starts gagging and she throws up tapeworm eggs.
And oh yeah. You know, I thought the veil was actually really smart because
Yeah.
it was kind of like, well, they don't know who she is,
Right,
right?
right, 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 right. Because it's like, how would the prince not know immediately who it is?
Well, or anybody. And then, like, during the dance, I guess the end of the dance, everyone, all the women are dipped and their
Yeah.
heads are like completely over. And that's when Elvira sees that Cinderella. Like, she
That's an
sees her face.
amazing shot.
That was so good. And it was such like a nightmare for her because she lost the prince to the servant
Yeah.
and she's throwing up. She's also like, while she's dancing with all these other guys, because her mom's like, get over the prince. There's
Yeah.
other
Yeah.
rich guys here. Like this guy. He's a oyster merchant's son or whatever.
Yeah, the
Who
blonde guy.
only seems to be able to talk about seafood. And
Yeah.
like,
But there's
I
also old men there leering at these young girls.
oh God.
It's so weird and gross.
I think that they really like put this like this elevated this. So like when they're introducing, like you mentioned before, they're introducing all the girls. And they're doing it like here's their measurements, but then also here's some of their likes, and all the likes are so generic. She likes long walks
Her favorite
and
food is fruits.
vegetables is her favorite, like
Yeah.
plate. And they're the girls are, you know, like sort of posing, but then like their mothers are behind them almost like marionettes, and like they're literally like posing
What about
behind
the
them.
puppy thing?
Oh God,
That's
that was
so
just
weird.
her, yeah, so it's kind of like they're parading them around like dogs. Her mom is like, be cute. I guess that's like not even says it, but it seems like be cute or playful, which is like kind of like rough like a dog and have your little hands up.
He puts her little paws up and she's like, woof, woof.
And she's like,
And it's
and
ridiculous.
oh, but I think that the puppet thing was so disturbing to
No,
me.
yeah.
That whole scene's disturbing because all the men are eating fucking oysters and talking about who they want to fuck.
Right. And one of the gross frat boy friends says, like, oh, I'd eat her oyster to like really drive the point home that there's something sexual about this. But it really is like an auction. It's not a ball, it's an auction. It's like this is where men go to shop for brides.
Ugh.
It's crazy. It's really crazy. Poor Vera thinks she's dying, and the mother's like, just get back out there and fucking dance with somebody else. No, there's a beautiful montage where she's dancing with this other guy, and you hear him. What is it called? I had to look it up. In the Hall of the Mountain, which is the classic music.
Yeah.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na- because of like everyone has worms on them and all the food has worms and maggots and like everything's rotting.
And people have them like, oh my God, it was like everyone's laughing and being playful, and you even see shots of like people having worms in their mouths and like
It's
tapeworms. It's
gross.
so gross.
Yeah. And then you said, like you said, that ends with them dipping them, and this great shot of Elvira's point of view, and it's upside down, and they're seeing each other, and she sees that it's Cinderella. But then the clock strikes midnight, and Cinderella runs away. And then you hear someone like, "Oh, she left a shoe!" Like it just happens off screen. And then Elvira, then again, like Disney, we see Cinderella at home feeding a piece of cheese to a little mouse, his little mouse friend. And then Elvira comes in with a butcher knife, and she's like, "Give me the shoe." And she's like, "No, I'm not." And then she like starts chasing her like she's gonna murder her. What happens? I guess eventually, oh no, eventually the mother comes down and is like, "What is going on?" And there's somebody behind the mother in her room that's like, "Come back, come back." And you're like, it's the blonde guy that was dancing with Elvira. He's now with the mother brought him home. And he's
Like, you
like,
missed
"Oh
your
my
chance.
goddess."
Yeah. Oh my God. And she's like, you missed your chance already.
And we get to the thing that's in the Grimm's fairy tale, which is she decides she gets the shoe from Cinderella. She puts a foot in, but it doesn't fit. Her foot's too big. So she decides she's going to chop her toes off. So she chops and she gets halfway through, and then the toes are just sort of dangling on like meat. And there's an insane extreme close-up of blood flowing out of her toes. Oh my God, it's so intense. And then the mother comes in and she's like, "You did the wrong foot." Like, if you have this shoe, that means the prince has the other shoe. So.
The reactions are amazing, though. It's like the mother is being like, "Well, you did the wrong foot." Alma is like, "Are you crazy? You're not
Like,
cutting off her other foot."
right.
The blonde guy immediately faints. He can't
Yes.
handle the brutality of patriarchy. He's just like, "Nah, I'm just gonna come and shut up, pussy."
And at some, we haven't said it, but at some point, the mother is giving her quote unquote medicine. I don't know what this is, but she gives it to her with spoons, but Elvira takes it and completely like zones out hard. So it's some very hard something. So the mother gives it to Elvira, so she's kind of like out of it, and then she chops off the toes that are almost off, and then she just chops off the other toes. And then the next morning, she's just a fucking mess. Elvira's got bandages on her bloody stumps. Her hair, her wig is off, so her hair is fucking falling out. She just looks like shit. Her stomach is still grumbling. And that's when she hears, like a trumpet outside. And it's like, the prince is here, the prince is here. And she starts crawling. She's gonna crawl to the prince. And then first, she falls out of bed and breaks her teeth. Which I don't know if we said she had braces in the beginning that they took off. So she breaks her teeth. Now her teeth are broken. Then she's crawling down the stairs. She falls down the stairs, hits her face, breaks her nose. Now the nose has a bump again. So she's all fucked up again. Now she's got no hair. She's got no toes.
Well,
She's
she's
got
fucked up
no hair.
worse than she was before because
No,
her teeth
she's.
were just, yeah. So, like, her teeth are all fucked up and
Yeah.
her nose is like
Real
so
fucked. Yeah.
crooked.
Yeah.
It's.
It's absolutely crooked. And then like you said, you hear like, oh, the shoe fits, happily ever after. There's actually no, there's before that, there's a great shot where it's an upside down shot. She's at the bottom of the stairs looking up, and Cinderella's just looking at her with pity and just doesn't even say anything and just walks out. And then she goes off with the prince. And then Alma's like, all right, we're getting the fuck out of here. And Alma goes, this is a very interesting shot. Alma goes into the mother's room, I think, to steal keys or something. And she sees the mother giving a blowjob to the guy. But she looks the mother in the face, and the mother, it doesn't look at all enjoyable to her. It looks like labor. Like, this is the labor I have to do to survive. I've got to blow this young guy. You know what I mean? Like, again, it's such unsexy sexiness. You know what I mean? It's such an unsexy sex scene because the mother just seems like, ah. I gotta suck this guy's dick now.
Alma was stealing jewelry.
Stealing jewelry. Yes.
Yeah, so I think it's like, well, this is going to fund our lives now. You can go
Yeah.
suck this
We're gonna
idiot's
steal a
dick.
horse and get the fuck out of here. But then we get to the grossest scene. The big finale, which is earlier on, Elvira said that there's an antidote she can take for the tapeworm. So Alma's like, where's the antidote? You have to take it now. So she takes it, and oh God. And I believe this is what really happens. Like, you see, like, just it's just at first, it's like you can barely see it. And then you just see from her open mouth, just a worm start to come out. And it's so fucked up. And Alma takes it and grabs it like a rope and starts pulling it, pulling it, pulling it. And it's so fucking long. It's like a mile long. And the whole time, Elvira is gagging and she's in pain and she's like vomiting and she's like, and it's so horrible. And then they get to a point where it's like stuck. And then Alma pulls harder and then like a big, like I guess the bottom of it's really big and thick, like a snake. All of that comes out. Oh, it's so gross.
The writhing mass. It's
Oh, it's so
still
gross.
alive too.
Oh, yeah, it's still alive. And then Alma takes a knife and cuts it, like kills it. And then they escape. Alma puts like a blanket around Elvira. So now Elvira's a full-on bag lady. She's a full-on,
He looks like a hag, yeah.
yeah, she's a full-on hag at like 16 or whatever. And like she's like in a wheelbarrow because she can't step on her feet. So Alma's like holding her like a wheelbarrow, and they're like going downstairs. They get on a horse to leave. And then the la I didn't even notice the last shot you pointed out to me is a bird eating a worm.
It's ravens eating what looks like the tapeworm. So
Yeah.
I mean, this movie doesn't spend a lot of time with Alma, but it kind of seems like where she was, she kind of focused on animals. So I
Yeah.
think it kind of makes sense with that character of like, oh, she's just giving the worms to someone to eat it, and they're eating it, and it's like a freeze frame of the raven holding two ravens, one's holding the tapeworm, and it just says slut
Blood.
with two T's.
Right, which we've seen this meme online, right? I guess Swedish for the end is slut. So
Which
just
is
slut.
hilarious. Yeah, when I saw this for the first time, I had no idea what that meant. And I
You're like,
was
what? So deep. It's like a Godard film. Yeah, but I made the joke earlier today when we were texting about Slavoj Žižek, the philosopher who talks about film. He always says, like, this is ideology. That's, he's a big Marxist. So he was like, oh, this, he'll just say something in a movie is ideology. But I was like, the tapeworm is ideology. And the bird eating at the end, right, it'll eventually affect someone else. Like the tapeworm, I think, is the fucking patriarchy.
Well, you're in, it's your inside. Your beautiful inside
Yeah,
is
oh
what
yeah,
that
right.
Yeah. That last shot of Elvira and Alma on the horse is and riding away. It's almost like a bookend from the
Yeah.
beginning of the fantasy with the prince, but she's running away with Alma.
Yeah. Who's like her prince now, right?
Yeah, I basically Alma's the
Yeah.
prince because she's
Yeah.
kind and helps her out where no one else would.
And I guess the mother gloms on to this young guy in the fishing industry, and that's how she survives.
I took it as like she's probably going to like be short term, like essentially a sex toy for these young guys or older people and just
But
live off.
if that's true, it's still for survival. Like, I don't think she enjoys sex. I think the mother's doing it. The mother had she knew the assignment. We're going to this bowl to get men. We need fucking someone to pay shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, okay, maybe she won't end up with him.
No, because she's like twice his age. Like he's
Yeah.
clearly like a young dude. I
The
think
fetish
that.
for him.
Well, it's also
He's
like
got an
when
evil stepmother fetish.
the frat. Well, when the frat guys were talking about the difference between wanting virgins or whores, like those are the only two women that
Sure,
they.
that's it. Those
That's
are the
it.
references.
So I think because Rebecca is an older woman with children and a widow, she's just the whore now.
Yeah,
That's.
yeah.
It's
She's used
really.
up.
It's just everything is. I feel like everyone is kind of worse off.
Yeah.
Between this
But I
movie's.
feel sympathy for Rebecca. At the end, that shot where she's about to suck his dick, she has such a look on her face.
Yeah, she's
You
looking
feel
at
bad
Alma
for
while she
her.
does it. It's fucking crazy though.
Yeah.
Like.
But you almost feel like maybe she's happy for Alma for leaving. Like, just get the fuck out of here. Like, this life, this is miserable, this life. Go to another land or something.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
I don't even know if people in this movie can think that far ahead because like let's be real, even if they do they steal that jewelry, how much could it feed
Right.
them, right? Like how could they survive this world that was
They
created?
have to go somewhere where they can work, where they're allowed to work. Maybe they'll become pirates. Pirates was a reasonable job for women, right? At some point in history.
Yes.
I loved it, and I loved it even more the second time I watched it. By the way, I like The Substance, so I'm not putting The Substance down. But people, because of the trailer and because of when it came out and the way they marketed it, I feel like people compare The Substance, and I think this is a richer film than Substance. And I love The Substance, but this is a better movie.
Interesting.
As crazy as it is, it's not like the crazy version of Cinderella. It's in some ways a very faithful adaptation of Cinderella. Maybe, certainly more faithful than like the Disney version or the fucking version with Hilary Duff.
What about the 90s? So the 1977 version of Cinderella that's just a softcore porn.
I've never seen that.
I haven't either, but when I was looking up stuff for this movie, it came up and I was like, I need to find this.
Sure, yeah.
Why not?
No, I mean, look, if you want to see Cinderella Vagina, it's in this movie. This movie has it all. Tapeworms, Cinderella Vagina, Stable Boy Dick.
Off toes, like.
Cut off. Yeah, it's got violence. It's got it all.
So the poster I saw for this movie was the foot with the cleaver. And
Yeah,
I feel like
it's very
that
horror movie coded.
I feel like though the movie kind of leads you to like, oh, this is like the climax of horror, but it actually is a fake out because the most horrifying part is the
The
tapeworm.
tapeworm. Yeah, that's the real fucking part. But it's cleansing, right? She's getting the ideology out of her body. She's getting the patriarchy out of her body.
And all she had to do was be completely deformed and
And by the way, who gave her the tapeworm egg? A lesbian. So what does that mean?
the thing is, it's like I think what's interesting about that is
I mean, they run a finishing school together to get these girls ready for balls, but they themselves are not part of that economy. They have figured out a way to live on their own, make their own money, but still complicit in that system.
well, they are complicit in the
Yeah.
economy, and the one that gives her the tapeworm,
Yeah.
she's like, you remind me of me when I'm younger, so she went through this process too. So
Sure,
it's
yeah.
kind of like they're just holding up this system,
Yeah.
even though they're gay and they're kind of out of it, they're still really in it, and they're
Oh, yeah, sure.
subjecting other younger generations to this cruelty.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Oh my goodness. I think this movie is so brutal, like unbelievably brutal, and I love it. I think it's really great. I think it would be like a great sort of if you want to just have a really disgusting night, I say Back to Back with the Substance. Just
Sure,
really,
sure.
really hate men.
I would watch it back to back with Disney's Cinderella. Watch both, you know what I mean? I don't know. I see some positivity in it. At the end, when they're escaping, even though she's got no toes, Elvira and Alma are giggling together. They're like having fun, running away. It's like, ah, they'll be all right, these crazy kids.
Leaving
And
this
I
poor
still,
smelly house.
yeah, and I still wonder what the fuck, you know, this prince has fucked virgins. You know, he's gonna be like, what the fuck? You've been fucking stable boys.
The thing is like, how could I think? All right, so like, I feel like I keep going around this. It's like
Yeah.
the idea of the virgin is a societal thing
Sure.
because AFAB bodies have different like
Yeah.
hymen level, like that shit's fake, okay?
Right.
It's not real. You kind of like you loosen whatever over time. Like if
Yeah.
you ride horses, if you ride bikes, if you're very active, you're going to lose part of that or whatever. So
Right.
it's horseshit. It's utter horseshit. He's not going to be able to tell she's a virgin or not. She's going to keep her
Okay.
mouth shut. She's pretty, and he's going to marry her so that he does his job and she does her job. He's probably gonna be fucking maids the whole time.
Right. And she's gonna be unhappy because she really was in love with the stable boy, and she's
Yeah,
not in love with the prince.
and I don't think she ever really cared about having she's never seen as someone who cared about having riches
No.
or royalty or anything like that. It's just this is,
Stability, I think.
yeah, it's just stability. So she's always going to be probably miserable. Just everyone's having a shitty life except Alma and her horses. That's all she needs.
Yeah. So on a scale from 1 to 10 severed toes, how many severed toes would you give this film?
9.5 severed toes.
Wow. Very good.
I loved it.
Very good. I loved it too. It's really good. It's so check it out on Shudder. Yeah, it's really fucking good. I can't believe this is the first movie from this filmmaker. What a fucking debut. Incredible.
I know. It's like you can either just go down from here or you really.
Or just be fucking the goat, as the young kids say, or probably they said
Well,
like
how many
years ago.
severed toes would you give this movie?
I'd give it an 8 or 9.
It's pretty
It's
high.
really very good. You know, I don't think it has a ton of rewatchability. Well, not that that necessarily matters. You know, it is a wild ride. I did notice more stuff the second time around, as one does. But it's certainly not a feel-good film.
No.
You're not going to come out of it feeling good. But no, I think it is an ex it's excellent film. It's an excellent film. Well, Nadia, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. This is great. I love being here.
We love having you. We end every episode by saying slut.
So, go slut.
That's good enough.